Monclova Township Board of Trustees meeting. Please join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have a lot going on today, including a budget hearing and a public hearing. So with that, I'll ask for a roll call.
Wang.
Yes, I'm here.
Herschel.
Yes, present.
Lopes.
Yes. I think we've decided that the agenda stands as presented, so I make a motion to adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel on the motion. Lopes.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Wang.
Yes. So that takes us to the reading of the minutes.
I have no corrections or adjustments to the meeting minutes from our last meeting and June 1st, and make a motion to accept them as presented by the fiscal officer.
Second.
Seconded by Lox on the motion. Lox.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes. We're already to six. Gavin, our budget hearing, please.
I know, my most popular one ever. This is, I think, my 16th year of the budget, and we've... all 16 years combined, we've never had this many people, so welcome. I appreciate you all coming to hear all about the township finances and what our budget looks like. So, by Ohio Revised Code, we have to approve 2027 budget by June 30th, 2026. So we've had meetings with department heads. We go over capital expenditures and kind of look at where our revenue is going to come in, and it comes out from two places: property taxes and then what we call other sources, anything that isn't a property tax. So when you look at your property tax bill, all of Monclova pays approximately $6.2 million in property tax. Like, that's the entire thing is all. So if you do go on, I think our website might even have a little pie graph that shows you how little of property tax of your total bill actually goes to Monclova. It's not very much. We are blessed with a lot of other sources of funds. We have joint economic development zones that contribute to our revenue, and then you have the other items like gas tax and mileage tax, and then other things. For those of you that aren't familiar with government, we call revenue things that aren't revenue in the government. So if we get a loan from the last item, Ohio Public Works, we call that revenue, even though it's a loan. It's government accounting. Welcome to it. So it's just a little different. If you're normal on the for-profit side, when you see government accounting, there's just some differences to it on how that works. We also collect for Northwest Ohio Energy District. If you do some energy improvements, you can get it put on your tax bill and collect it. You go through the Port Authority for that. And we do that every year, and again, that is revenue for us. So sometimes the revenue looks a little funny, and I like to make fun of it because my background is way more for-profit than government, but I've learned the government side also. So just as the big overview, as you see up there, we're going to, between our property taxes and the other sources, we're going to collect just under $15 million, and we are going to... we're going to propose expenditures of $17.5 million. And so in every other form of business, you'd say we have a budget deficit. But in government accounting, we do not, because we have a beginning balance. And if your beginning balance and your revenue you take in exceeds your expenditures, they count that as a balanced budget. It really isn't. But that's just how government accounting is again. And just because we have expenditures, we put things in expenditures that are potentials. We have never, ever, like, spent what we've really said in those budgets. And some of it's, like, just things that we may or may not do, and we just put it out there. And when we get into capital expenditures, I'll go into some of that from that standpoint. So, Kathleen, if we want to move forward to probably the capital expenditure side, we do line out as she scrolls down through here. This is line item by line item. And it's all available on the website to see, but of what we spend in each in each expense category, and you have different funds. You have general fund, and for those of you, again, that never been to a budget hearing, general fund, you can spend on anything. The other funds, those beginning numbers you see there, the road fund, the fire fund, the EMS fund, those revenues that come in can only be spent specifically on roads or fire. It's, there's silos like that. But anything that's in the general fund, you can spend on anything. You don't have to do anything special to spend fire or general fund on a new fire truck or a new plow truck for the roads or anything like that. So that's kind of a quick overview of that. I think a couple more down, I think, and we'll get to right there. So
this one?
No, one more down. You were right at it. Right there. Capital items. So this is kind of the, you know, the bulk of, you know, some of our expenditures that we do. And so at the top there, hard to read, but it is the next year, I believe, it's the Strayer Road project. And we have two parts of it. We have the part that we're going to pay, and then we have the part that OPWC is going to pay. So those top two numbers there, roughly about a $1.7 million road project next year. The maintenance facility needs a new parking lot next year, and that's just over $100,000. We put our salt out to bid every year, and the cost have went up a little bit. So we have 1,500 tons, and we're estimating at $100 a ton for the road salt that they put on there. We do a crack seal program every year. We do all these other miscellaneous things, you know, to try and keep our roads longer. And my eyes aren't that good, 107 and then 30,000. Then a bunch of smaller little things that we just do through the roads through there. We do, I put in there the 9/11 contract. So they switched that a couple years ago, and now we pay into 9/11 every year. That's $240,000. The sheriff contract next year is $900,000. The garbage that we pay in total is $1.2 million, and you do get a small special assessment on that. About half of it, $550,000, is what our total special assessment is that goes to the taxpayers. The rest we pay out of our general fund, so you don't pay your full garbage and recycling bill. You pay less than half of it, and the township picks up the other part. We pay that out of our general fund. We do have some things inside this building we want to do and update some security. We have some vehicles that we need to purchase just as we've expanded our employee role here. We do have a new mower next year and a stump grinder. And then another mower on there, and a trailer, a traffic trailer. So we used to have the sheriff tractor trailer, speed thing that we put around. We're putting one in there that we'd own ourselves for next year. The sheriff one that we helped pay for is no longer in service. So that way we can move that around a little bit. We do have a parking lot project here at the administrative building. Historical building improvements, that's across the way. That's just a budgetary number that we put in there. We have a land acquisition number that was in for this year and for next year, and if we spent it this year, we wouldn't spend it next year for $2 million. That is not anything that we have identified specifically, but we're trying to see if there's other land within the township that we want to pull, that the township would like to purchase from that standpoint. Going underneath parks and cemeteries, the tennis courts need to be redone at $115,000. And then I can't read that. It could be on mine. I don't know why I'm not. But so that we got some trees and landscape. You go underneath the fire department. We have a new fire truck. Budgeted for next year for $1 million. Then a bunch of miscellaneous equipment down there through the fire and EMS. So that kind of gives you the idea of where our capital dollars are going from that standpoint. And everything else, we do have in our budget for next year a couple of expansion roles. I think we have another full-time employee in the administrative side, and budgeted for another full-time employee down in the maintenance department. So those are the expansion roles on there. And we also budgeted potentially for more full-time firefighter EMS at the same time. Those wouldn't be expansion, but those would be flipping people from part-time to full-time. And again, that's when I say we put it in the budget. Doesn't mean it's always going to happen, but we budget it just to see if it potentially would happen. It's already in the budget. So that's kind of the gist of what our budget is for next year. And we're blessed. We have a general fund that allows us to show that we're in a budget, you know, in my mind, a budget deficit when we spend more than we bring in. However, we usually don't do that. We just budget that way, budget cautiously. I know we've had discussions up here, you know, and I've had department heads, but if you have any specific questions you want me to talk about, feel free.
Questions?
No, I think both our fire department and our maintenance department did a good job of maintaining our fleet and with both newer equipment, and I think we've learned that just by keeping our fleets up to date, you know, that it keeps them in service, and you know, we're not reliant on backups or longer delays for anything. So I think it just and additionally provides premium or better service to our residents.
Anything else, Gavin?
I'm good.
Do you need your motion?
I need a motion. I wrote it up in there.
Want to give it?
Move to approve resolution number 0615-2026-01, Maclova Township budget for the 2027 fiscal year.
Second.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Lux?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Do you want to finish your report in case you don't stay?
Sure. The only other thing on my report is the payment of bills.
Do you want to make the motion, Debbie?
I move to approve the bills as presented, totaling $725,227.45 for the attached listing.
Second.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Lux?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. You have no correspondence. Something down here.
That was just the May information I turned in.
I'm having a tough time. Tough time with Dropbox.
Up there.
It is 5:30. It's after 5:30, so I believe we can start that public hearing, which is simply a motion to close the general session and enter into the public hearing for the purposes of hearing Z17 C390. Then I'll second it. We didn't think I was making a motion.
Who seconded? You seconded?
I seconded. Debbie made the motion.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Lox?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. So this is an interesting little zoning file because it has four very different sections to one zoning file. So I thought the best way to manage this would be to discuss the four sections separately. So I will be going in and out of public comment four times. So we'll talk about one. If you want to comment, you can comment. We'll have our discussion. We might discuss how we would make a motion in the end. Then we'll go to the second one. We'll allow for public comment. Then we'll have our discussion. We might make a motion. But trying to do all four and remember what you say can become difficult. So we're going to give this a try. We are going to start with Section 8.5, Conditions of Approval for BZA. Our Zoning Commission made a change to that proposal. They said may to shall. So with that, Eric, I ask that you summarize. I should swear them in. I was going to let Eric summarize and swear them in, but
sure.
So basically, it's just doing some updates to our conditional use section, which conditional uses are things like let's say you were going to build like a church or something in a residential area, that'd be a conditional use or similar type item. And basically, the change that was being asked for was to include and is not limited to require the following items where permitted. So it originally said require the following items, but it says include and is not limited. That's basically saying the BZA can look at each situation individually, and it gives them more discretion if, let's say it's a new church, and you need to put more landscaping than the code normally requires. The BZA could add, hey, you need to add more pine trees, for example. So it's just giving them more power to deal with the reality of each situation that they're looking at.
Okay, I want to move to our attorney. Don, can you add anything to Eric's description? I thought he did a nice job. It allows the BZA the most flexibility. We did have the Zoning Commission say something different, so please add what you think.
No, I think Eric gave a good explanation of the purpose. It's to add protection for the community by letting the BZA on at their hearings and their evaluations, since they are a court-type setting, a quasi-judicial, and create those additional parameters that will allow property owners to use their property and yet still protect the neighbors, the neighborhood, and the community.
And you like may, which is the original language, not shall, because?
Well, when you put in shall, then suddenly you have now limited what the BZA board can do. May gives them discretion on each case-by-case review of that zoning request, that zoning appeal hearing.
Right.
Putting in shall, you then say, this is what you have to go by, and you take away that discretion to look on each situation case by case.
With may, it might not be listed in the conditional use. Do you think the item that the BZA is asking to be done needs to be listed, or is it allowed to be flexible?
It is designed to create some flexibility.
We're going to allow for public comment now. And again, we have four sections that we're discussing. If you want to speak to any of the four sections, can you stand and I will swear you in? Yeah, anybody who might want to speak to any four sections, even if you don't know for sure you want to speak, let me swear you in. Great, thank you. It's pretty simple. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear that the testimony you are about to give before this board is the truth and you shall answer under God?
Yes.
Thank you. The whole room's going to speak. That's exciting. Okay, so we are just talking right now about conditions for approval for BZA. So if anyone would like to speak to what you've heard so far, you just need to come to the podium and state your name and thank you. State your name and address. And
all right. Thank you. My name's Edward Seca, and the address is 5054 Lake Reese. And I'd like to take the opportunity to thank you for considering the change that the Plan Commission requested from the word may to shall. There is a difference, and I agree with the attorney. In the case here, is too much discretion could be given to the Plan Commission or the Board of Zoning Appeals and not look at the different criteria. On certain issues, yeah, sure, you'd like to have maybe some discretion, but that's a minor approach that would take if you're looking at it. But it's a major problem. Hakadata-san. May means that the Board of Zoning Appeals doesn't have to, on their discretion. And this, by substituting the word may to shall, they have to look at these different points. So all I'm asking is that you consider the suggestion of the Zoning Commission to include the word shall rather than may.
Okay, thank you. Who else would like to speak about conditions for approval for BZA?
My name is Lynn Cox. I wrote my comments, so I'll be up here a few different times to visit.
That would be great. That would be totally great.
I didn't expect you to be separating it into sections.
Sorry.
Like Ed, in section 8.5, conditions of approval, the document states that in granting any conditional use, the Board of Zoning Appeals may include and is not limited to require the following to protect the general health, safety, and welfare of the community. By adding the word may, you have weakened the entire section. May can just as easily be may not. And if you're looking to give yourself some flexibility, I feel it would be more prudent to have the word require and then add another sentence to describe whatever flexibility that you're trying to add into the resolution by doing that. That's it.
Thank you.
Good evening, my name is John Langman, 7717 Tournament Drive, Waterville. In regards to the wording, I find the wording to be very strange, I guess. Because what does the phrase is not limited to require actually mean? And I'm not sure what you're trying to, what's someone is trying to do there. To me, I thought the purpose was to give the Board of Zoning Appeals more authority and discretional authority in determining what requirements were to be needed. So I would think, and similar to other neighboring communities, you have something like may include the following, but is not limited to the following. In the verbiage. That's my comment.
Thank you. Anybody else want to talk about conditions of approval for the BZA? But I'm going to close this portion of the public comments. And that allows us to discuss. We will come back to public comments, though. Do I need a motion to close that? No, I do. I move to close the public portion, the public comment portion of the public hearing temporarily till we move to the next subject. Second.
Seconded by Lox on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Lox?
Yes. I go back, Dawn, to you, right? May and shall, and I really like may include the following but not be limited. Like, is the language not clear enough in this?
We can parse all of the zoning resolution, but yes, it could definitely be clearer in the trustee's discretion. It can be written differently.
How do you two feel about the clearness of this section?
It's not clear at all.
It's not clear.
Yeah.
It's not clear. And I am thinking we have another, you just referenced it, Eric, at our last meeting, another section that relates to this that isn't very clear.
You mean about the legal notice? Or?
Yes, probably. No, not today. Not the website. It was 2 weeks ago. I'll come back with it. But it's all the same issue. So I think we can do better. Better?
It needs to be clearer, much clearer.
So how do I do that? I make a motion that we ignore this for the time being. Like, that's not a motion I can make. So
it's not weeks.
So we're going to table one and send it back through the process with the portion we had problems with 2 weeks ago. You read it in the working session, and you and Dawn sat down and talked about it. So there's another section. I don't know why it's not coming to me. Okay? Anything else we need to discuss on tabling? We're good when we come to the motion portion? Okay.
I think you just need, when you table it, to give direction to where it's being tabled to, which would be back to administration.
And do we need to reset another public hearing date?
Not until they work on it.
Yeah.
They got to send it down and all that jazz.
Continue the public hearing.
I need to continue it.
I need to continue this one?
Mm-hmm. Or it doesn't matter since we're doing it in pieces.
Okay.
You don't have to set a date. Elect you to continue it.
Okay. So that takes us to section, gosh, I really don't want to do this one. Section two. 9.3 generators. I am going to reopen. I move to reopen the public comment portion of the public hearing. I have a second.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel on the motion. Lux.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Oh, can I have Eric speak first? Okay. Eric, talk. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Can I, Eric? Can you tell us about the generator portion of the zoning change?
Yeah, so this is new language to deal with auxiliary electric generators, which have nothing to do with any specific use, not with data centers or anything else. It's for personal use and also commercial use. So I'll give you an example. You could live in a subdivision, and your neighbor may have a diesel generator as an auxiliary as opposed to like a natural gas generator, and that could really, really stink. So that's, or you could live near, let's say,
Churchill's,
and they decide to get a diesel generator, and then the people over in Strayer Farms are smelling diesel. And so this is just in general regarding generators for a whole township, residential areas, as well as commercial industrial.
Okay.
And anybody with an existing diesel would be grandfathered. This is only for new.
This is for new
generators.
Yeah, and diesel generators for emergency situations are different. So it says portable or mobile auxiliary generators are not permitted except for emergency purposes. So if you own a diesel generator and we have a tornado and you need that for your CPAP machine or whatever, you certainly can do that. But the idea being auxiliary, meaning that, you know, the thing that's attached to your personal electrical system for your house, that's not, in the future, that's not supposed to be diesel powered.
So you're saying just a permanently placed generator?
That's correct, yeah. People can still have portable generators if we have a tornado or if we have some other, a blizzard or something like that.
Dawn, do you have anything to add?
No.
All right. I've already opened the public hearing, so who would like to speak to generators?
More clarification so that I understand. When it comes to the industrial commercial aspect, the distance is 300 feet or more, correct?
Yes.
Is it possible that you could have an industrial facility, light industrial, that could have 200 generators and only be 300 feet away from a home? Is that correct?
Well,
I want to make sure I'm understanding that.
So any sort of, there's something in here about generator can be put inside an enclosure if required.
Can be.
Well so
I'm asking if and I'm not trying to be argumentative, but I want to make sure I understand.
Okay.
If I'm going to open my mouth, I want to make sure I know what I'm talking about. So if you have an industrial facility, brick and mortar building, that could potentially have 200 generators, whether they're electric or not, we're talking electric, auxiliary, it could potentially be only 300 feet away from a residential. In other words, someone's home, correct?
So what I was going
to
say.
The way it's written.
Well, I'm going to explain to you. So we have a process called site plan review. So let's say a new trucking company comes to one of our industrial areas, you know, and they have, I've never heard of 200 generators, but let's say they have.
Some of them have.
Well, let's say they have a large.
Much more than one.
A large generator. And during site plan review, this gives the township the power to require that be put into a building. That's not specific in our zoning right now. So that's an improvement for all the residents because we can require something go inside of a building and have like noise deadening.
What about on the rooftop?
We already have language. We have language in terms of hiding the generators currently. Well, it's called HVAC. So we've had that for many years. Basically, the idea being we had some retail businesses, nothing, you know, stores and things like that, that were bordering residential areas. And when the new building would come in, they would get the stainless steel equipment and be put on the roof, and it would shine into people's houses and yards, and it would be very bright. And so we have requirements for screening to avoid that.
What about decibel level?
We have noise, we have a noise resolution, and then we also have a nuisance section in our code, but we don't have specific decibel.
Yeah, I found that the decibel level, the noise pollution aspect, to be extremely weak in my estimation. That's why I want to make sure I understand better.
Currently,
so I have concerns about that, because that can go hand in hand with the noise pollution aspect.
But
and with a lot of the newer facilities, they are constructed differently. We're talking about different animals now, nowadays. So I want to make sure that we're covered in that regard.
This is designed to, I'm not saying things, more zoning things may not happen in the future, but this is designed to help limit some of the side effects for anybody, including in a neighborhood. Like you could, like I said before, your neighbor could decide to put in a auxiliary diesel generator and you have to live next to that and it smells horrible.
Sure,
so,
and I respect that. I totally understand it.
Risa, can you state your name for the record?
I'm sorry,
by the way.
Risa Sindel, 7106 Offshore Drive. But only 300 feet.
Yeah. Well, that's,
where did that come from? Was that just an arbitrary? What foundation was that set upon?
That is the proposed. It could be more. It could be additional. That's just a proposed number of feet trying to protect people.
And that's what I'm wondering about, protecting people.
It's also protecting people.
We're talking about the distance. We're talking about what animal we're talking about.
And
because 300 feet is not very far.
And then the building part, like I mentioned before, that's for the help of some of the noise.
Sure. With the 20-foot, I want to make sure I understand, because I live in a 55-plus environment. A lot of people are on oxygen. I want to make sure that I'm not speaking out of turn. When you're talking about 20 feet or more, if we have homes that are, say you have a standby generator, it's not even 10 feet to the base of the next home. So how does that impact people who want to have a standby generator then?
That can be discussed tonight, possibly in regards to maybe just being in back of the house instead of on the side.
But what
like
if we're not allowed? And should not HOAs specifically be allowed that determination to decide for their community what should be done as opposed to the township dictating?
Nobody's trying to prevent people from having. I understand the importance of CPAP and supplemental oxygen and all that. We're just trying to find a way so it's not right next to somebody.
So like in the middle of January, I mean, Waterside, for example, loses power, I wouldn't say frequently, but often enough.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure that there isn't a deterrent that way, and I want to make sure that I'm understanding that.
We have no desire to do that. This is all about just...
You sound, Risa, like you've got it understood. Is there any comment you want to make to it?
I just think it needs to be stronger.
Yep.
It needs to be clear.
That's what I heard you say.
I think it's
well,
nice.
In regard...
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to wait. You got to wait. Yep, please. It's 5 o'clock everywhere.
Oh, yeah, I'm retired. What the heck? Yeah. Dine Stroshine, 7307 Longwater. When I looked at this, the first thing that came to my mind was, well, we're looking about the little what ifs. What about the big picture? The big picture is the 35 or so noisy, polluting generators that could be brought here. The nuclear power plant that might be brought here. That's the big issue. These little things, yes, they can be annoying, and not that one or two people isn't important, but the big picture that we're trying to keep out of the community is the thing that's going to destroy the entire community. I mean, I was expecting for this resolution, you had said, Chuck, that you were working on generators. What's to stop if a data center wanted to come in here and they wanted to put up, one was showed on a site where there was like 45 diesel generators, and they said they were only going to use them once in a while, and only just a couple at a time. And there was an infrared picture of all of them going all of the time. That's what we need. I mean, this little stuff is good, but we need a big picture solution right now that's going to stop people that want to destroy our community for their profit and their gain from looking at this area. And that's what I wanted. So I think we need to go deeper and find things right now, because this is the big push right now. I mean, and it's becoming in the public eye everywhere now. States are outright banning it. We're looking to put it on the Ohio ballot about data centers and stuff. So why, you know, if we're doing all this work, we need to look at the big thing that's going to destroy and keep our community from growing. So I think we should table it, and as long as we're doing the work, hit the big boys where it's going to count.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak to generators? Please, come on up.
This is banning diesel. This is making that you have to have cleaner sources.
But you
fuel.
Have 300 feet. I read, what's that 300
feet?
No,
300 feet would be gas or natural gas or electric.
I don't think 300 feet is enough.
But diesel is gone with this proposal.
Whatever this entity is, even with gas or whatever that is, I find that based on, as Diane was saying, we're not interested in micromanaging some of these things. What we're concerned about is opening up something that will allow more destructive, polluting industrial too close to a property line. And anything I've read on any of these data centers, from a public health point of view, it should be 5 miles.
At least.
5 miles. The people are putting them in within 1 mile, but 5 miles would be the closest from a health perspective that they should be. Also, we shouldn't have too many of them in one neighborhood. So if you've got something in Monclova that's spewing pollutants, it will come over to this area. No matter how they're building these things today, they are not building them safely enough, and they will continue to try to build them with the least amount of safety protocols because they cost money. So I would suggest that when you're doing any zoning, be very careful what you're opening up for.
Thank you, Gavin.
And that's all I will say.
Thank you.
Be very careful. Table it.
Thank you, Lynn.
Sorry.
No, thank you. I appreciate you breaking it up for us.
I wish I would have known. I mean, I think you guys in advance.
We're not going to do this ever again.
I think in advance, if you're going to break up a public hearing into sections, let us know in advance so that we can.
It will never happen again.
Get our thoughts together in sections. This is super weird.
We're trying to keep our thoughts organized. Is what we're trying to do.
Okay. Well, I'm
okay,
not. I
go
don't
ahead.
I don't understand. You don't need to explain why, but I'm just going to tell you. I don't understand why you're doing it, but don't explain it. The section on generators was concerning to me because it doesn't account for the fact that there can be hundreds. So it seems like it was addressing it as a one-off, a business here and a business there.
But by doing what you did, you're not accounting for the fact that this could be a massive number. And for certain facilities, now, God forbid that they were to come in here, they're putting as many as 240 generators. And so there's nothing in this resolution that accounts for the emissions and that the toxic emissions. And it doesn't matter what kind of generator, and it doesn't account for the particular noise that comes from this. And I don't think your zoning resolution accounts for ultrasound. I think it only accounts for DBA noise. So it doesn't go far enough, and it opens the door, and I think it puts the township at risk on both of those issues. So to me, I'd recommend you guys not vote on this. It's not well vetted. It's not well thought out. It doesn't take into consideration all the things that could happen based on you guys opening this door. Also, correct me if I'm wrong on this one, I thought I did read that a person could still do a diesel generator by applying to the BZA.
Yes.
As an exception.
Yes,
correct. Okay, so that's still
right.
Well, that's in the proposed language.
Correct.
Right.
So
I mean, that has to say
what we're discussing.
Yeah, so
I'm not
I have an objection. I have an objection with that either. Doing it or not, or if you're going to allow it, you're going to require a certain confinement, but it can't be kind of like all over the board because you're going to get a company to come in and just completely take advantage of a poorly written document.
Thank you. Thanks, Ed.
You want me to
just say forward. Your name again. Good.
Ed Seeka. I like Breezeland. I'd like to comment on their general requirements for auxiliary generators and the use of fuel. And I'm questioning whether or not, you know, you have it set up as a general requirement, and it's natural gas or propane fuel. And then diesel fuel, jet fuel, et cetera, is are possible uses by a board of if approved by the Board of Zoning Appeal. And I would object to a consideration to using a diesel generator in the residential neighborhood. Natural gas, we all know the Generacs that are sold at Lowe's and Home Depot, but a diesel generator is a different animal. It's a has a different sort of sound and noise and pollution. Having had lived in a neighborhood at one time next to a diesel generator, which they ran for 15 minutes every week, and the University of Toledo was very nice of turning them on at 2 o'clock in the morning. Fortunately, we were able to convince the university to change that time. But again, using a diesel generator in a residential area is not appropriate, and I think your code, the suggested code here, is too permissive, and so I would speak against it. And the use of jet fuel, jet A, gasoline, kerosene, alcohol, hydrogen, or any other fuel type, I'm going to suggest that the Board of Trustees look at those types and say, do we really want any of those in our township, and prohibit those, some of them. I certainly, as a general, would not like to have a Jet A fuel generator sitting next to my home. I don't know what that would do with it. I mean, imagine it would be pretty loud. But again, it's permissive to the Board of Zoning Appeals in this language it's proposed. So I'm asking for a little bit more discretion on your part, or to remove some of the discretion and make it propane or natural gas only in residential areas, and you can allow a different fuel types in a commercial zone. But certainly, I think that when you get into Jet A, things of that sort.
Thank you.
That's it.
John, appreciate you coming up again. We're just trying to stay organized in the conversation. It got difficult with the Zoning Commission.
John Lagerman, 7717 Charmin Drive. If your intent is to ban diesel generators, then put language in
that does that. Thank you. Somebody's coming up.
Hey. Hi. I'm Carol McGill, 8459 Casey Lane, Chicago. And how many people wear ear protection when they mow their lawn?
We don't mow that.
Ear protection when they mow their lawn. Because it's 85 decimals. I'm a nurse. We had a decimal meter at the nurse's station, and we're surprised at how much noise comes out of the nursing station. 85 doesn't take you that much to get to. It's your average. But we wear ear protection. We can't have that running. It disturbs people. It disturbs their sleep. That's why we had it in the nurse's station. It's loud. It's obnoxious. Generators, 110. 110 decibels. That needs to be written in for noise. The average data center's 85. That's your lawnmower going every day, running all of the time. I wear ear protections at 85 all of the time because it is a lot of noise. It is a lot of noise. Being at a concert is 110. Our nurse's station got to 110 sometimes. That's not good for patients. It's not good for elderly. It's not good for a community to be running anywhere between 85 to 95 constant. And the generator, it does need to go in there because the outside generators are 110. So I think we need to really look at adding decibels to the generator issue.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
110, you're talking referencing diesel generators.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would anybody else like to speak about yep, I got somebody.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
My name is Jane Rinkowski. I live at 8602 Queensbridge Drive in Mount Clover. So I just wanted to, reinforce some of the things that my fellow public health member had mentioned. So I have a doctorate in physical therapy. I've been working in healthcare for over 20 years. I have a master's in public health, including graduate certificates in epidemiology, environmental health, and health policy. And I'm currently serving as a secretary and membership co-chair of the environment section of the American Public Health Association. And I will say I am here expressing my own views. I do not express the views of the APJ, but I just wanted to say that because I think it will help you understand how big this issue is that we're working on. So specific to diesel generators, so one of the things that I thought was interesting in what he read was, what is the definition? So when they say permanently placed generators, who defines what is permanently placed? Because oftentimes when you're looking at data centers, you know, like many people said, they're going to have multiple generators, whether they're diesel, whether they're gas, they're going to cause harm either way. But who's to say if we say, okay, you know, over 3 months, over 90 days is permanent, who's going to say that they're like, okay, well, we're going to take A offline, replace with B, take B offline, replace with C. So technically none of those are permanent, based on how we might write our zoning regulations. So I think the overall theme is, I don't think that there's any possible way we can write our zoning currently to prevent the harms that could be coming, because none of us really know what the long-term impacts of all these generators and these data centers are. And unfortunately, it's not just, you know, we're thinking Mount Clover Township, because that's where we live. But, you know, Middleton Township, or is Middleton, you know, the giant data center, you know, that's right by us. Depending on the way the wind blows, we're close enough, that's going to impact our air quality and potentially the noise, too. You know, and then we're looking at potentially Mount Clover Township, and then we look at the one that potentially in Waterville. So these all have cumulative impacts on our health. And no one is looking at that. So even if they make a regulation that says, well, a data center can't exceed this much noise, can't exceed this much, you know, air pollution, but now we're suddenly surrounded by them. Like, where we live in Crimson Hill, we will literally be surrounded by data centers, pretty much in the middle of a triangle. You know, so that's an issue we need to think about. And I think, you know, when you're looking at the particulate matter that is going to be caused by these generators, whether it's gas, whether it's diesel, they can travel, depending on where the wind blows, hundreds of miles. So we're all definitely going to be impacted, even by, you know, if the way the wind blows, you know, just coming off the lake, we may potentially get the air pollution from the one, the Meta data center. You know, and we know it's windy. Everyone that lives in Mount Clover knows it's windy around here. So, I mean, I'm thinking, you look at this, I grew up next to the turnpike in Perrysburg Township. My brothers and I all have asthma. My parents both died of cancer. My dad from lung cancer. My neighbor died from breast cancer, you know, where we grew up. These all have impacts. These environmental exposures that we are subjected to every day have impacts. They have cumulative impacts. So, I mean, I think really the best thing we could do as an area right now is to put a moratorium on this until we have more time to study it. Because when you're looking at the other areas that already have this, you look at Virginia, their health systems are being strained because they've had increased rates of asthma attacks in children. The children are missing school because of the asthma attacks. The parents have to stay home from work to take care of their kid because now the kid has to go to the doctor. So these impacts just spiral out. And I think we really, the best thing we can do right now is to say, you know, we're going to pause this right now because we don't know enough and we don't have enough information to write a zoning rule in a way that can protect our community.
Thank you.
I have to put together some articles. There's a lot of information. It's just everything is changing so rapidly, it's hard to keep up with the regulations. And even we've been trying to come up with a best practice recommendation in the environment section, and it's going so fast, it's really hard to keep up.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Celebrating 5 o'clock somewhere. That's why she's
here. Yeah, I don't have a water bottle with me. You know, I guess I want what we want you to understand, the trustees, is that when you say, well, we're going to give the Planning Commission an option, we look at that and say, right now in all the politics, everybody has options. You know, it's like this person comes, you know, this person comes on the board, this one goes off, it's all over. So the thing is when you're leaving it up to a commission that's going to change, who's to say that the next, that the next commission that comes in goes, oh, well, gee, I'm going to wipe my hands of that and we're going to decide this way. That's why we want the protections concrete. So I think that's what all of us have been coming here for since it started, is we want concrete guarantees as much as anything can be, as opposed to, well, the commission can decide. We want it concrete, black and white.
Thank you. Anybody else about diesel? We have two more after this. This is a big one, though. Any more about diesel? Okay, I make a motion to close the public comment of the public hearing temporarily.
Seconded by Herschel on the motion Lang.
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
So, yeah, this, I think the intention was to create protections. I think it just created a bunch of questions. And I hear in Eric has a report later on that we're talking about changing or creating a zoning classification where we could easily put something about diesel generators or generators related to commercial. So I can say, okay, we're going to talk about that. That's on the deck. We're going to make some improvements in our zoning resolution related to a new classification for industrial. Generators can go there. So that then leaves me with the residential side of this, and I still have tons of issues. And we heard them already. You know, generally required, who defines permanently, emergency, who defines emergency? I had Brandywine using a portable generator to run their...
Sump pump?
No, you're close. Oh, come on, let's try. Their sprinklers. Is that an emergency? I don't know, ran for weeks, you know? So I also have, we mentioned our noise resolution. Our noise resolution doesn't talk low frequency or high frequency. It doesn't distinguish between night versus day. I asked Dawn, if we become home rule, does our noise resolution become better? And she had some thoughts on that. I think we need to talk to the prosecutor about our noise resolution. So I think we're light years from being ready to make this work.
Well, yeah, I think there's a lot of things we can do. You know, I have no problem banning diesel generators, period. There are much cleaner energy alternatives out there.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in a residential. I mean, I live in a community, 55 and over community, and I don't want my neighbor having a diesel generator. Whether it's 10 feet or 20 feet, it's not 20 feet between the lines, but you know, Generac, if he's got emergency equipment, fine. But I, you know, like I said, I think there's cleaner energy alternatives available. I think there are some things we could strengthen this language. I agree with Diane, you know, that let's codify it and take the Board of Zoning Appeals out of play.
Yes.
This is the zoning code.
Yeah. Yes.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
It is
yes.
what it is. So,
yeah.
You know, there's some other things. As far as like, you know, and Eric, I don't even know, you know, alcohol and hydrogen. I mean, I don't know what the 180th is using out there. Jet fuel.
Yeah. those are bare cases.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. Yeah.
But I mean, the other thing that I think, you know, the as far as, you know, do we look at, you know, if we do allow propane or natural gas generators, do we look at, you know, so much, you know, the number of generators per square footage of building, you know, limitation, is there, or per acreage or something like that, that
yeah.
you know, if we have a greenhouse operator that's got, you know, an LPG generator keeping the plants growing in the wintertime, you know, how much square feet there, I mean, something like that, or propane, yeah. So, I mean, I think that language to be added, you know, addressing Reese's concern about the HOA regulations. I mean, we could add language, you know, keep the language, you know, the 20 feet unless approved by the homeowners association. I mean, generally, homeowner regulations are subservient to the township regulations, which are subservient to the Ohio Revised Code. So, I mean, we get questions all the time. Well, my neighbor shot a skunk in his backyard, and our homeowner regulations prohibit firearms. Well, the Ohio Revised Code says you're in a township, you can shoot a skunk in your backyard. So, sorry, HOA. Right, you have a hunting license, yeah.
I would like to see both of these be totally separate issues. The commercial generators
yes.
and residential generators, but grid never be
yeah.
in the same upgrade. And the distance, like they said, very close communities. I don't know that we should be regulating distance from
yeah.
houses. Where I live in a rural community, it's not an issue. So that should be on the individual. I don't want to say HOAs because I know not everyone.
No,
has
I don't
an
think
HOA.
It should be on HOA because
yeah.
then it's politics. And those people said we could have one, but the new regime coming in says we can't. And no, it's the zoning resolution that has to control it.
But I that it should be a 20 foot.
I've told. I'm
too close to have.
I'm sorry.
You can't restrict something.
If it's an HOA. They would have to, if it's not already addressed in the declaration and bylaws, they would the homeowners would have to vote to amend the declaration and bylaws. It's not
yeah.
if there is no we agree with the township or we're going to do it different than the township. It would have to be that's how they would have to in a homeowners association.
But the township zoning resolution would supersede a homeowners association.
Bylaws.
If they ever did that in the future, yes. Yeah. So I think I hear, at least Debbie and I are on the same page.
Okay
this needs to be two separate issues.
Diesel generators.
I don't mind banning diesel generators, but I understand that when you ban something in your zoning code, that opens you up for the threat
challenges.
Yes, challenges.
Well,
so
well,
to make
you know,
it
when
more.
When I say banning permanent, we're still allowing. You know, temporary, portable, but permanent.
Then you would need a size restriction.
Yeah.
Right, like
that
more
huge generator.
restrictions versus an outright banning. We can go with the banning and see if we can live with it. I have no problem saying we ban diesel generators for commercial use, but I understand challenges. That easily brings a challenge when we could use better language. So what I'm guessing, we want to table this as well until you rewrite and we come back to it.
Okay. But I would agree with you about splitting the commercial and the residential.
Splitting the commercial, and we'll come to that when we get to Eric's report as well. Add language for new... Oh, I missed one. Did I miss... No.
The back of the house. I think.
Oh, we did both of them. Okay. So, that's generators. We're going to Joint Economic Development Zone. Eric, do you want to talk to us about the Joint Economic Development Zone?
Sure, sure. So basically, the language for Joint Economic Development Zones, those are our zones where we have a lot of our businesses, like Briarfield, Technology Drive, those are in the JEDZ. And the idea being, technology is changing, and every year you're getting businesses running with less and less employees. And if you have a lot of what I'll call automatic businesses, the JEDZ was designed for economic development opportunities, for providing a tax base for the township. If it was all a bunch of businesses that don't have any employees, that's really going to impact your some of your tax collection. And so, and also, there's a safety issue if you have all these businesses and you have nobody around to watch them, even if there's cameras or whatever. And so basically, this language requires that these businesses have employees. They don't just, they're not just auto businesses. But then when we got to the BZA meeting, and there was a change made, just basically...
Zoning commission meeting.
Or zoning commission, I'm sorry, thank you, Mike. When we got to the zoning commission meeting, they talked about removing the specific minimum number and replacing it with language requiring on-site employees during operating hours. So, for example, a gas station might only have two employees during operating hours, but... You know, a grocery store may have 15 or 20, a small grocery store. So it's going to be based on the business's need, but we're not having automatic businesses. We're not just going to have 10 car washes in our JEDZ with no employees. So,
Dawn, do you have anything to add to that?
Yes. One item that I highlighted, Eric and I were working on this before it went to the Planning Commission and the Zoning Commission, was the question about the number of employees. There was a random number put in there as a placeholder versus the production of income. This, again, as Eric pointed out, the JEDZ and the JEDD, the economic, it's the idea is to bring economic growth to the region and provide employment, but strictly limiting to a number, a random small number of employees does not enhance our economic development, nor does it necessarily create the additional tax base that we're looking for. So I think it needs to have a better measurable to be considered.
With that, I'm going to open the public comment. I move to open the public comment portion of the public hearing.
Second.
Seconded by Lux on the motion. Lux?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. Would anyone like to speak to the JEDS issue? Yes, Ed's back. Sorry, Ed.
This is what happens when you have a retired former zoning enforcement person.
Yes.
The whole nature of the JEDZ zones is for revenue sharing, and we just heard Mr. Pike talk about the budget, the proposed your taxing budget, and you're looking for additional revenues, and and to allow a use in the JEDZ, such as the past one, that storage facility.
Yep.
I don't think there is, that's what, 10 acres, maybe 5 acres? I'm a city person, I can't relate to
but the solar
acres,
but the solar field next to it is 10.
They don't,
that's
they don't
to
create
Dana.
Any jobs.
Right.
Dana
and,
creates lots of jobs.
So and I think the whole nature of the economic development zones are to create jobs. So I would, you know, maybe consider looking at number of jobs per acre as an alternative, but just a random number, I agree. You know, you need something.
Thank you. And the example Ed used is the example, that's why this is here today, because of that example. We're like, this can't happen. So, anybody else? Jets? Yes, please, Lynn.
Don was speaking quietly and may have addressed this, but on section 940.
We're getting microphones.
Section 940, where it says a brick and mortar structure with a minimum number of, and then it just has the word number in parentheses.
That's what she addressed.
So were you saying that they had picked a number or they haven't picked a number?
I was saying I recommend that they find a better measurable. I don't know what that number is.
When we sent the, I think what Dawn was, or when we sent the original draft to the Planning Commission, we couldn't just say with a X or to be determined number. So we put in 5 as a placeholder number to be determined, you know, as we're through the zoning process and this process.
Well, I mean, it might be appropriate to determine a number based upon, you know, some of these properties are smaller. They're not many acres, so it might be something that you do within square footage of the building,
yep.
And you use that as a metric. So that was my concern with this, that it was just left too wide open. But I do want to support this particular measure of requiring people to be in buildings.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
So we do too.
Once we have clarity, I'm on your side on this one.
Thank you. Anybody else would like to speak to JEDS? Then I'll temporarily close the public comment portion of the public hearing. I'm going to make a motion to do that.
So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Lox on the motion Lang.
Yes.
Lox.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
It's like no. The rest of them.
No, I think the language here is fine, but we need to, I think, rather than an acreage comment that Mr. Seeke uses some sliding scale. I mean, we could have a professional firm, an accounting firm, a law firm with 4 or 5 employees that maybe takes, you know, 4 or 5,000 square foot office versus, you know, like the Dana building at 20A and North Jerome. You know, that, I don't know what the square footage is there, but you know, how many people in there. So if we came up with a, you know, 5 employees up to 10,000 square feet and 20 employees, you know, and then over 100,000 employees they need, or square feet they need, X amount of full-time employees, permanent full-time equivalents.
I love your guesses. Eric, do we have, we don't have any stats, and Mommy doesn't share any
they
stats
don't share,
with us.
But I like what Chuck is saying, kind of like our parking regulations, we base them on...
Yes, but it's still just a guess, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do we get that so it's more firm?
Well, and
yes,
I think, too, we need
something to
aggregate any building. So if it's a, you know, let's say a warehousing facility, a logistic facility, like an Amazon or whatever, that's got 4 buildings, well, you say, hey, we're going to have 5 employees in each building, so 20. No, the 4 buildings count as an aggregate.
Yeah.
You know, so to come up with that, and you know, I think we can put our heads together and come up with where we're not discouraging any smaller entrepreneurial type businesses that we have, you know, in the Briarfield and technology area, but kind of discouraging, you know, the self-storage, the car washes, the things like that have minimal job applicants.
I think this would be a little unreasonable for some of the smaller private-owned
yeah.
businesses.
Yeah.
You've got bakeries, you've got a gas station, just
restaurant, you don't have to have five people there. That would discourage them from
it. Yeah, and if we could discover, you know, full-time equivalent, so if they have four part-timers, that'd be two full-time equivalents.
It needs to be manned by a human person at all times.
Yes, Mike.
So, thank you. So, as we know, Jet Z's are no longer allowed.
Right. So we're very lucky.
However, they've been around for a long time. We have colleagues that, we're not the first entity to go through this.
That's
we have colleagues that have figured this out. We just need to table this. We need to do some homework. We need to reach out to our colleagues. I've got friends in Cincinnati, got friends in Columbus. These were all the Jet Z's were all created for these larger communities. They have this figured out.
Okay.
They're gaining revenue. They're not allowing all these the smaller, I guess you could call it the mom and pop shops that are just operating and not generating revenue. So going back to the drawing board and doing some homework, instead of us trying to figure it out.
No, we can't figure it out here.
We can't. So let's do some more homework.
Okay.
Get in touch with our colleagues. Form of flattery.
Yeah.
So.
Listen, if they figured it out.
So far we're tabling everything here, which means I'm going to make a motion to continue the public hearing. So
Not right now. No, but so I mean, just on this language, are we good with the rest of the language other than the number?
I don't know. Mike's going to do the homework.
Okay.
He might have to change more language than that. But as I was saying, Dawn. When I go to make the motion, it's going to be to table all these things or continue the public hearing so that staff can revise the documents presented tonight.
Yes, you're going to continue the public hearing.
We're not going to go through the process again. You all are going to do the work, and it's going to come back.
Yes.
Okay.
Individually.
That individually.
One at a time.
That'd be great if it was individually. That takes us to our last one. So I already stopped the public hearing. That lets Eric explain public hearing and notice by the zoning commission.
Yeah, basically this part is to correspond with updates in state law, and it's just allowing for some modernization of the way that we do notice. Some places don't necessarily have the kind of newspapers that they used to, and
us
everywhere, yeah. And it's trying to modernize. This is just corresponding the law that the legislature passes, trying to modernize our notice to just correspond with the modern times. That's all it is.
Dawn, do you have anything to add?
I do.
Okay.
I think it's important to get our notices of public hearings in line with the ORC. We're working on that. The language that came back from the Planning Commission, Trustee Laux had asked a question about it, and I think she's correct. I think the prepositional phrase at least 10 days before the date of said hearing should be moved to the preamble paragraph to the itemized methods. And I have that here for your review, if you like.
Yeah. Yes, we might want to review it. With that, I open the final public comment section of this public hearing with this motion that I just made. Can I get a second?
Seconded by Laux on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Laux?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. Who wants to speak to public hearing? Okay, Risa.
Oh, don't worry. It's been a few days since I read the document, but I have an issue with the or. Mm-hmm. Who subscribes to the blade? No offense, but I don't think anyone should have to have a paid subscription to a newspaper where then you can thereby potentially place a notice at the back section in the classified section of the blade. Or. Do you see where I'm going with that? I think on your official website is everyone can access that if they want to have access to the internet. But to have the position of potentially having it in the back of the blade, and that's your choice, that's your discretion, is prohibitive to a good number of people in the community. So I don't like the language where it says this, or this, or this, or this. And I think there were four different choices, correct?
Three.
So even though it's three, okay. So I have an issue with that.
Okay.
I don't think it's appropriate on that. I think it should be a more broad-based opportunity for your community to have an opportunity to get notice of the hearing.
Okay, thank you. I saw Lynn stand up too. Ed, are you coming back?
Yes.
Maybe it would have been faster if I just would have listened to everybody. I was trying to stay organized.
We're tag team this. I completely agree with Risa. You say that you can put it on the website, good idea, or a newspaper of your choice, and typically you've used the blade, which people don't get or they have to pay. Or you can put it on ohiopublicnotices.com, which most people aren't aware of. So to me, if you choose the or the blade, or you choose Ohio Public Notices, you're basically saying to us you don't want us to know. If you put it on your website, you're saying you do want us to know. And so I don't understand why you left the language in that way with the or, and you just didn't say, since you only need to choose one with the new law, you only need to choose one. Why don't you just choose your website? I don't understand why you left that open. So I recommend that you just put it on the website. It's clear. It's transparent. You guys have met your requirements.
It's website and social media. It's both. If we have a website and we have social media, we have to use both.
Do you have social media?
Yes, we do.
That seems simple.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that. We'll discuss it.
And
when
you don't have
we're
to
done
pay.
Listening.
You don't have to pay. The blade you pay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you pay for the third one, Ohio Public Notice.
That's not really an option. That's just taking.
It was listed.
I know.
Yeah.
That's what the higher rights code saying. Okay.
But I mean, wouldn't it be simpler if you just said you're going to use your website and social media? That's my recommendation. My point is this resolution appears to be a hodgepodge of several items and does not really solve any problems. A zoning resolution in which any items could apply to a hyperscale cryptocurrency or co-location data center needs to be well thought out with all the contingencies accounted for, and this can only happen with a zoning resolution. There may be items in this resolution that you will change once you take a more thorough review of the issue. We've been very clear in our desire to ban these here, which is an option. As a body, you are either one, working to keep them out, two, you're trying to attract them, or three, you are indifferent. I'd like to know where each of you stands, one, two, or three. Where you stand will greatly affect how a final zoning resolution is tailored. I'd also like to recommend, and I'm finishing, that you hire outside counsel to assist you with this process and specifically refer you to Peter Griggs of Brocious, Johnson, and Griggs from Worthington, Ohio, as he has a wealth of experience working on this issue with townships.
I just did a seminar with him this morning.
So you
yep.
know he's
would,
good.
Yep, thank would, you.
You're welcome.
You were on that too? So Mike was on the same seminar. Ed, welcome back.
Always good to have continuing education for public officials.
Absolutely.
Ohio Revised Code 519.06, which we're talking about here in the proposed zoning language, requires that you have to do one publication 30 days in advance of a hearing. And then it states, using at least one of the following, and it gives you three options. I agree. Why don't you just pick one instead of giving it leaving it with listing all three of them? So a citizen has to look at all three sites in order to determine if there's going to be a hearing. So pick one that you're going to follow. And, you know, the easiest one, what, from a cost standpoint, looks like, is put it on your website and social media.
Say that the My Monclova notification is part of your social media.
Because text alerts.
Yeah, it would be part of our social media.
Okay.
But I don't.
Then I'm all for them.
We'll discuss this, yes. Anybody else that wants to talk about websites? It's not really websites. Then I am going to close the public comment portion of the public hearing with this motion.
Second. Seconded by Herschel on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
So when this law came out, I brought this immediately to the township because luckily I sat on the Ohio Township Board of Directors and it came to me. And I'm like, look how much money we can save. And it's not that simple. It's always nice when things are super simple, but it's not that simple to document what we put in the paper. It comes in a nice little ad and we save it with our zoning file, and everybody knows it was notified. With our, we post it on our website regardless. It is on our website. We never had to do that. We always have done it. It's always on our website. The trick on this one is and social media. So when you post something on social media, you have to figure out how to save that, and then you also have to deal with all the comments that come with it. So that can be a firestorm that staff doesn't want to face every day. And it makes it not.
Just for clarification, Dawn, we cannot, when we, if we were to post, for example, tonight's
meeting.
Yeah,
we can stop the comments.
We cannot, can we stop the comments, block comments, legally on social media? On a meeting notification.
On a meeting notification, yes, but that's not easy to do. I mean,
yeah.
And then they comment on a different post, so it just generates activity that may or may not be wanted by the person that has to do it, right? So I just immediately said we should do website and social media. That makes the most sense. And who subscribes to the Toledo Free Press? We don't even have a newspaper to do it in, right? It's, we're using the electronic Toledo Free Press. So that's where I have been this entire time. Social media and the website should be our choice to do this. But there's been some questions about how to get that done.
But it needs to be stated which one we're choosing. That's what everybody's.
Well, it's stating the ORC. I don't know what that, I mean, it's just what the ORC says. That's what's in there. And I'm telling you, if I rewrote it, it would say website and social media. I don't know that everybody on staff thinks that's the best choice.
Yeah, so if I may.
Yeah,
thanks.
You're staff, right?
So certainly agree with consistency. And I believe that, you know, this portion of the resolution should be administrative, to where our staff's the one to put in the public notice together. Our staff's the one that's advertising for the public notice. So consistency is something that is desirable from the board, is what I'm hearing. That's placed on us. The onus is on us as staff to make sure consistency happens. You cannot just put one over all the other. I'll give you a prime example.
Yeah.
Where there's public notices that have to go out for our OPWC project, which is circulated. However, in order for us to get reimbursed and for it to be compliant, there needs to be a signed affidavit. You can't do that with the website and with social media. So there are some that we would have discretion on as staff that may not be as important for the public to know about the public notices going to bid and those types of things. But there are some things that we have to do in order for us to be compliant, which are very minimal. So again, going back, the onus would be on administrative staff to be consistent, hearing that what people are saying, it's on the website and social media.
So you want it to stay the way it is?
Well, I think the language, the ORC,
is
we
the
have
ORC.
To keep that. We have to keep that in there. It's on us to make sure that we take care of the people that we're supposed to be taking care of and make it consistent.
So that, just for example, so on one of our road bid projects,
right.
You know, the half a dozen paving companies that, you know, they're looking to a publication, yes. Not necessarily our website.
That's
or
exactly
social media
right.
Page, yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah.
So could we come up with a matrix of, you know?
I think we could just say it's always on our website.
Yeah. Just say, can we, outside of this, do a resolution that we commit that we will always post?
On our website? I don't say we post on social media, but I'd say we always post on our website.
Yeah.
Then it's not against ORC.
And on page 212, you type ORD instead of ORC. You got that already? Okay. So we are...
Just don't really want to complicate it.
Moving
staff.
Forward.
Yeah.
With yeah. This... update, which is just an update of the ORC. Debbie, I love the idea of a resolution 2 weeks from now saying it's our preference or some
our
strong
commitment.
Word. Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
That everything is posted on the website. And it's in this big section that says it has flashing lights around it. Is she smiling? No, she is not smiling.
She's
and just so that you know, we've been posting legal notices on our website for 20 years.
I tried to say that, Kathleen. Did I not say it clearly
enough?
Not clearly enough. We've been posting all of it on our website for 20 years. Do you guys want to pass this portion tonight?
I'm fine moving forward with that.
Yes, this is probably the only portion.
And from what I'm hearing from you, our preference from both a public communication and a cost effectiveness is
use the website and social media as
correct.
Much as possible.
And then newspaper publication for bid for
bid
projects.
And we also put a sign up. There are signs up, not for text change because there's no text change sign, but for property change, there is a sign.
Changes, yeah, our maintenance department, or public works department.
Right. Okay, so... I guess I'm just, we would just do a motion that accepted the changes in section 15.2 and then tabled the rest of the changes and continued the public hearing. That's what I'm going to do. You guys feel good about that?
Two motions. Then separately.
Two motions.
Would it be section 15 and 16?
Yes. 15 and 16?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I make a motion to approve sections 15 and 16 in the zoning file Z17 C390 as presented.
Second.
Seconded by Locks on the motion. Locks?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
I make a motion to table the remaining changes and to continue the public hearing to discuss the staff work that's accomplished with
Seconded.
Those changes.
Seconded by Herschel on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
I now have to close this. So I... Did I not get it, Kathleen?
I need a specific date for continuation.
No.
It's got to be 30 days?
We don't need it. That date. No, because we don't have anything to prepare at this point. So
can you confirm?
Okay. I retract my comments.
Okay. I move to close the public hearing and return to general session.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel on the motion. Locks.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Lang.
Yay. Thank you for being patient with all that good work. Appreciate it. And let's move on to up. Oh, my word. Yep. I missed roundabouts. You're actually right. I missed old business. Let's move on to roundabouts, Mike.
Don't shoot the messenger. Roundabout obviously did not happen on a proposed date due to communication. Movement, removing the poles. The contractors stated they will not do any work until those poles are removed. Buckeye Cable, hold us up for a moment, but I'm told today that June 22nd is the date. Again, we'll see. One thing that's kind of discouraging, because of all these delays, the project at Alvin and Maumee Western is in jeopardy of being tabled until next year.
Will we still have the money, though, if they
put it? Yes, so I'll just have to go to the DIC board and request an extension.
Do we need, I mean, since both the roundabouts on October were scheduled originally to be done prior to the school year starting, do we need to have a discussion with the sheriff and the school of, you know, Montclair Elementary over here?
I'm in contact with Anthony Wayne Schools.
Okay.
So and they are with the county as well.
All right.
And your question about the post office, had a conversation with the postmaster. They've got a little plan together. We're going to work together with the contractor, so we'll certainly facilitate that. People can still access the post office. So that's all I have.
Oh, new business. You have new business too, and it's the electronic sign that they've taken out.
Yeah, absolutely. So the old sign that's sitting there was to be demoed with the project. It can be repurposed. Providence Township, who friends of ours, they inquired about it. Certainly said that they could certainly, with the approval of the board, we can certainly repurpose that to Providence Township. Currently, they're using the old letters that they go out and move.
That's so
move
cute.
Around.
And we can't repurpose it for ourselves.
Yeah, that's correct. So the new EMC sign that we will be installing will be a cellular base. So if in fact that we want to have another message center at our public works or community center, that all can be controlled by one cellular device, which will be here at the administration office.
Okay, so I guess it's fine to give it to Providence.
Well, I'll make a motion to transfer the current electronic messaging sign to Providence Township for $1.
It's probably a huge problem for them to get a dollar. Okay.
Yep. Seconded by Locks. I have a motion. Lang?
Yes.
Locks?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Keep going, Mr. Mike.
Well, I'll back up on this. So the only thing I really have, correct seal project's complete. I wanted to bring up a conversation based off of everything that's going on with legislative action from the in Columbus. Just looking at revisiting limited home rule again, having that discussion. I know it was presented here, was it last year or 2 years ago for the general electors. The purpose that being totally transparent, is not for more government on our constituents, more so being having the tools in our toolbox to not have our state legislators just jam things down our throat without having any kind of limited home rule protection. Zoning's a good one. You know, we hear about zoning codes and zoning enforcement. A lot of that stuff may not apply to townships that do not have limited home rule.
Right.
Again, some of our friends in some of the larger urban townships in the larger cities, they're all limited home rule for a reason. And again, it's not necessarily for putting more restraints on our own people, but it's to combat what Columbus sends in their bills.
And they give opportunity to limited home rule townships
versus
non-opportunity.
They certainly do. And just one thing I'd like to add, because we just heard it tonight about noise, and our code really is debatable. It's probably it could go to litigation because we don't have that limited home rule status in order for us to really have a code enforcement.
Yes.
Limited home rule gives us a code enforcement avenue. It gives us those mechanics to where we can now have the ability to enforce, and that's the key word, the noise resolution and what the decibel levels may be.
And they just gave sidewalk repairs a limited home rule.
Yes.
I would love a plan forward with limited home
rule. My time's up.
Sorry. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
That takes us to Eric. Eric, I think what's really important is your work on a new zoning classification that would include data centers.
Sure, yeah. Following very closely what's going on in Waterville Township, they're working on an M3 campus zoning classification, which would basically, for things like data centers, large warehouses, logistics, distribution centers, big heavy uses, and then we could have our own, within that M3 category, we put certain uses in there, and we could also have additional landscaping, buffering, things like that to help mitigate some of the sound and noise and other issues. So I am following Waterville Township very closely. I'm going to be attending the Planning Commission meeting next week. They're going to be on the agenda and could be going as an observer. And then as it moves forward, once that happens, we can kind of borrow it, so to speak, make any changes we need to make it relevant to Monclova, and then we can start the process to have a text amendment for our zoning resolution to have something very similar.
Eric, do we necessarily need a text amendment, or can we create a new zoning classification?
Well, the text amendment is just a process we would be doing to create that zoning classification. So we would create a new zoning classification. Nowhere in the township would be zoned that by right. So it would be a classification we would have. Someone, if they come with a project, would have to ask for that classification.
Okay. And so then that would go through the three-step process.
That'd go through, yeah.
It'd be referendumable.
Yes. Planning Commission, Zoning Commission, and then Board of Trustees.
Peter Griggs today said after that zoning classification, you can also put a conditional use on it, and
yeah,
they have to go to the BZA again. So he had lots of great suggestions, and I will get that to both of you. Well, you were on the seminar, but I actually cut and pasted and stuff.
So at that point, you would remove the conditional use for AR.
That's correct. It would remove it from, and it would become a zoning change, which would go to the Board of Trustees ultimately.
Which is where I think people want to see it.
And yeah, that's probably, a cleaner process.
It would be, yeah.
So we put on a 12-month moratorium. Mr. Greg spoke of that too. I mean, we have 12 months. We don't have 36 months. So are we going to put this on the fast track here, Mike?
Yes, absolutely. So it's needed, not only just for some of the, the concerns of the data centers, but there's also other commercial activity.
Absolutely.
That this is needed for.
Yes.
And it gives us the teeth and gives us the more of the local authority, and that's what you heard with Peter Griggs. Creating a zoning classification with conditions gives us more local authority, which, again, limited home rule, the local authority is what is needed, and that's how we can certainly manage litigation.
So
this where the diesel generator restrictions and everything should be going into that.
Yes.
And the noise ordinance or noise.
We need to approve that noise resolution, so that needs to get a subset somewhere in here. But I just want this board, yes, we want everyone to move ahead with this path, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Chuck?
Yes.
Okay. And then
prior,
limited,
preferably if we could get the, when does our current moratorium expire? We got about 8 months, maybe?
I think about 8 months. I don't have the exact date with me.
And
that doesn't have anything
No.
Well, no, I'm just thinking if we
he just
get
wants to get it all done.
This process.
We want a timeline in your guys' head.
Completed prior to the expiration of the moratorium.
We certainly know the blessing of the board. As soon as we got that,
so
we're going to grab it.
Right, I just heard
yes.
from the three of us that you have that blessing.
Yeah.
And now I want to talk about limited home rule. there might be an opportunity to get on the ballot in November. Yeah. Do you want to proceed with that, and how do you two feel about it? For my little rural, my little rural.
Well, you know, I think, you know, the limited home rule gives us, as Mike mentioned, some enforceability. I think about the
July.
It's too late.
No, we have two meetings in July that we can get it done.
Yeah, yeah, that the challenges we had with the property on my Clover Road, that they were running the dirt bikes and the quads all night, and the
right.
sheriff would go out there and they stop and like, well, they're not.
There's no decibels,
there was,
right?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
So the enforceability issue is key. It's just us, I think, communicating that we're not asking for more overreach of government. We're just asking to put some teeth into some of our current regulations, that we can enforce the noise resolutions, that we can enforce the sidewalk resolutions, that things that can actually help us improve our community and neighborhoods.
Yeah, so
they got two.
I'll just say this, and I know we're running out of time. I asked our friends, there's only two of our friends, Perrysburg Township and Zevania Township, in the entire region that who have limited home rule.
Right.
And Perrysburg Township, they don't have any extra ordinances based off a limited home rule. They have it for their protection and possibly to enhance the township if needed. Sylvania Township, they implemented the following under its home rule: EV charging station regulations, property maintenance code, noise resolution, junk vehicles.
Yes, all of which we need.
Solicitation regulations, nuisance conditions, feeding of wildlife and stray animals, and regulations on ORVs. So a lot of that's good stuff.
Yeah, and we will be home rule in 2030 anyway, since we're over 15,000 in population. So
we have to vote for it, the trustees.
Yeah, the trustees. But
2030 is a long way off.
If you want to move forward with it now. It's
okay, you got two yeses. We want to move forward.
3 years.
Yes. Understand, Debbie. Eric, anything else? Questions for Eric?
No, just the normal, otherwise just the normal, you know, report. It's we're going into summer shortly, and there's a lot of things.
I did ask Mike if that report is the most effective use of your time, so I hope you two have some conversation about it. We love the detail. I would say all the trustees love the detail, but it also looks like that takes you a lot of time to type every little thing out. So if there's a more efficient, effective way for you to use your time, let's use it that way. That takes us to Doug.
You know I like to talk.
Yes, Doug, you have 45 seconds.
All right. Most of my report's informational. If you haven't been by the cemetery to see the PAD report, I suggest you do so. It turned out awesome.
I saw that you had us pay for the deposit for the columbariums.
So tomorrow, I'll make the call, 2 weeks till the install.
Do we have a new fee schedule?
No, that's
so you have 2 weeks, I guess, to get a new fee schedule to me.
Ish. I have ideas, but I got to sit down with Mike and we'll figure that out.
Do the return on investment, yep.
Other than that, my stuff's informational, but to go back to the budget, you didn't see a lot of trucks this year for me. And the reason why, Chuck kind of touched on it. If you remember the last 3 years, we bought new trucks. This year we didn't buy a truck, we're not going to buy a truck next year. And the reason why we did that is because Tier 5 is coming out, which is a new emissions thing. And I want to be ahead of that curve so we're not the guinea pigs for new trucks, right? So some of that early spending years ago, now we're going to see the rewards of that. We're not going to have emission problems with the DEF systems when they came out. And I'm not going to talk an hour about it. But that's why we did what we did. You've probably seen $1,000 on trees and parks, and you go, oh my God.
I did. I was annoyed.
Yeah, don't be. Didn't you say you wanted grants?
Oh, okay. Good.
So I got you covered.
Okay. Thank you.
There is a method to our madness and all of that.
Okay.
Stump grinding's been a hot topic lately. we've been renting a machine doing it ourselves. Mike and I talked. That's the next year's budget. That's why we're looking at doing things. The biggest thing I have is to move something to Mark Tootie's equipment to obsolete. Our tower and mower came in. It's with people brand new never running one, we're already saving time. And when Gavin ran the numbers 2 years ago when we looked at it, what would we say, 3 years, it pays itself off?
Something like that.
I move to name the John Deere 640-20 tractor township inventory number 2225. It's obsolete and removed from township inventory. Further move to dispose of this item through Gov Deals.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel on the motion. Herschel.
Yes.
Lox.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes.
9-7-7-6-5.
I don't see it.
Not
that's
in
not
your
gonna
report.
Help me. Sorry. It'll have to come next time.
It's okay.
Parks, vehicles, moving John Deere, battling mower.
I'm not still together.
We'll just do it at the next meeting.
It's in the budget and all that.
Okay.
You got it? You want to make a motion? You feel comfortable? Well, I don't know what are we paying for?
The Batwing mowers,
right,
what you're talking.
Yeah, we're getting rid of them.
You're getting rid of it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, then 60 go ahead.
Pound. The Batwing.
So what's
that? Name the Batwing mower as obsolete and dispose of it through GovDeals.
Second.
Seconded by Lang on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
Any questions for Doug? That takes us to fire and rescue.
I have no actions items for tonight, just all informational. In the month of May, we had 193 incidents. The other statistics are provided for you. Any questions, if you would like?
Questions?
No, we discussed in a working session looks like a number of your folks have got to complete their cyber training by the end of the month to be compliant.
Well, sent out a reminder today, and we'll probably do that again. Make sure we keep everybody in.
Okay. Mike shared with Alyssa. Keep on your staff. I get that done by the end of the month. Yeah.
Not just a competition map, but we're done.
This takes
I'm on that list too.
This takes us to the public comment portion of the agenda, and I have people on the list. I don't know if you signed the list thinking that was a public hearing. Do you want me to call up the names? Sorry, Gavin, I'm reaching over you. Risa, do you want to speak?
Yeah, just quickly. I'll
sure.
Your 2 minutes. I want to say, if I was on that side of the desk, I'd be really impressed with the community that showed up and the collaborative effort contributions that everybody had. I'd be impressed on that side of the desk. So this is putting an emphasis on the start of progress that I heard tonight on that side of the desk. And I want to say this, since it's been established that you, as our township officials, either pursued or simply entertained or are pursuing the potential of a data center, whether it's a, a co-location, or it could be a crypto, anyway, data center development through meetings in the past couple of years, I'm once again just appealing to you to be forthright and transparent with us about your intentions, both past and present. I'm appealing to you, as other Monclova residents have done so in the past 9 months, to show us as your constituents that you have our backs. We don't want to hear vague or evasive comments. We don't want to be dismissed. We don't want to be mocked or ridiculed. And we don't want to be lied to. We just want straight, clear, honest communication. We want you to know that doing what's right for Monclova means doing what's right for us, because we and our fellow residents are Monclova. We want to know that you will work hard to do your jobs in protecting our ecosystem, our property values, and our quality of life and health. We want to know that you seek to build a vibrant and lasting legacy for Monclova that is not built only on dollar signs or personal gain, nor born from ignorance. I think it's a pretty simple ask. I'm just asking you to simply do your job as good stewards of our community. We look to you.
Thank you. Lynn.
Thank you. As much as I love coming to your meetings, I hate coming to your meetings. I don't want to have to do this. I want to be able to live in peace. I want to know what I'm going to be able to look at across the field from me. I want to be able to take our no data center signs down in my community. I'm really disturbed by the fact that it's affecting property values. And in
in Waterville Township, when they wrote their new zoning resolution, they wrote it from the perspective of making it as humanly difficult as possible for a data center to come in. And they also wrote it, obviously, where a referendum, you know, is the possibility. So we know where those trustees are coming from. They're representing the side of their residents like this. They don't get this kind of attendance. But they're coming from, we hear you, we know you guys don't want this, we're going to work on keeping it out. What I want to know from you guys, especially Barbara and Chuck, because I feel like I know where Debbie's position is on this, are you guys going to come from this, of the position of, we hear you guys, we're going to make this as restrictive as possible and try to keep them out? Are you coming from the position of, the money's cool, we're open to hearing about the money, so we're going to maybe leave it where there's loopholes? Or are you coming in at the position that you're kind of in the middle and you're indifferent to it? So I'd like to hear you guys respond to that rather than just listen to me talk and then I sit down and then you adjourn the meeting, because it just doesn't seem collaborative and it doesn't seem fair to me. People are selling their houses. They're being proactive. People are moving their businesses. And people are living in fear. And I talk to people every day who are in tears, not just in Monclova, but particularly in Waterville Township. So, as I've mentioned, I'd like to take all the signs that we've acquired here in our township, send them all over to Waterville Township, where I think they really need the signs. So, if we don't need them, tell us we don't need them, and tell us we're safe, and allow us to have a nice summer.
Thank you. Elaine? Elaine Abel?
She's gone.
Okay. Ed? Okay.
Hi.
John, did you get everything in? Did you leave? You're good. Diane?
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you. Debbie, Chuck, do you want to comment on anything said tonight?
No, I'm just in response to Lynn's comments. I have stated publicly that I am not supportive of any hyperscale data centers in Monclova Township. I've said that before. But I also want to be in a position that talking to Peter Griggs, that you suggested personally, that, you know, don't want to put the township in a vulnerable position where we could get literally litigated into bankruptcy. So, you know, these companies, these data center companies, the Metas, the Googles, the, you know, Amazons, whoever, have billions of dollars, and, you know, they, from what Mr. Griggs has told me, that if they so choose, they choose to sue governmental entities civilly, which means the loser pays for legal costs of the winner. So, you know, our budget, which you just seen tonight, could be, you know, burned up in a heartbeat. And like I said, I'm not in favor of a hyperscale data center in the township. You know, we're doing well enough. We don't need it. But I, like I said, I don't want to put us in a position that we get sued into bankruptcy.
What about Bitcoin mining or an enterprise data center?
Do you have anything to add?
Bitcoin mining, I have heard absolutely nothing about potential Bitcoin mining in the township.
Cryptocurrency data.
Dawn, do you want to add anything to the comments tonight?
Gavin,
is there anything? With that, I'd accept a motion to adjourn.
You're not going to answer? I'm asking your opinion on this.
You all have heard that I am not going to state an opinion because I want to be able to vote on this. I have said it maybe every single meeting. I know that by stating an opinion prior to the case coming to me, I could have to recuse myself, and I plan to vote on this issue if it comes to me. So, no. You've seen my actions. You heard me say I need a different zoning classification here. I'm not going to state an opinion. I ask for a motion to adjourn.
I can't wait.
So moved. Seconded by Herschel on the motion. Locks. Lang.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.